Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to City of Geneva's City Hall and Council Chamber. It is Monday, October 14th at 7 p.m. Our regularly scheduled committee of the whole meeting, and we have a special council meeting immediately following. Scheduled to chair tonight's meeting was Alderman Don Cummings, but he is unavailable to join us. Therefore, they went to the stand-in. Unless that's him walking in. Oh, man.
Nope.
Good. Let the record show that all the aldermen save for Cummings and Flanagan are present this evening. We have a consent agenda with, according to my notes, only one item on there. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. Any comments or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And nobody opposed? That motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Items of business. Item 4A is to recommend acceptance of the fiscal year 2013 comprehensive annual financial report. And we have our distinguished guests from the audit firm and, of course, our finance manager, Mr. Dahl. Sorry about that.
Okay. I'm used to it.
The auditor wears the jacket. The manager just comes casual. That's good. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. Thank you, sir. Well, you already said who I am, so I don't need to do that. We put out in the packet the a summary, Frank's management letter, and the CAFR. And so we do have Frank Costable from Costable and Stephens who performed the audit, and I'll leave him with his presentation and then take any questions.
Welcome, Frank.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much to all of you for what?
Put that mic a little closer to you, Frank. We are recording this in case.
Sorry. All right. I'm not used to doing this. Thank you very much for having me. Hope everyone's having a good evening. Every year we try to keep this short and sweet. If there's any questions either while I'm talking about things, feel free to let me know, or otherwise when I'm done, there'll be some time for questions as well. So and the first thing that Tom put in the package is the required letter that we're supposed to put to management, which is the board and the management team. And inside this letter, we talk about any new pronouncements that have come out, any disagreements with management, any significant audit adjustments that we had throughout the year. There was one new pronouncement that came out. It was GASB 63 and 65, and it had to do with deferred inflows and outflows, which is basically your deferred revenue. They're recategorizing what they're calling it, and you'll see if you've taken a chance to look through the financial statements, it's getting presented differently on the balance sheet or the statement of net positions. And the deferred inflows, which is the bond premiums. So just another way that the GASB feels is a better way to present this information and make it more available for the reader to understand it. So that was the one new change in this year's financial statement. In the second section, it talks about any difficulties. We didn't have any difficulties with management. We were able to get all of the schedules that we requested timely, all the invoices that we were pulled. There were no problems finding any of that stuff. There were no any errors or any adjustments that we had were made. They were all immaterial mistakes, just some small things that we found, reclassification issues. And we didn't feel the need to consult with any other firms or any other consultants. And that's it. There were no findings or anything in the letter. So then there's the CAFR. Yeah.
Can we ask Alderman questions as we go along, or should we wait till the end?
If there's specific questions on the letter, or do you
want to wait? I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Alderman Simonian.
Under management has corrected all such misstatements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And excuse me, I'm new to this, so this is my first go around in this. But
that's the guy we warned you about, Frank.
That's okay.
I've been through a number of these in my businesses. Is there a way we can get a copy of all these misstatements?
Yeah, Tom's got a copy of those adjustments. Okay. I think there may have only been 2 or 3 adjustments that we had this year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else on that matter in particular? Frank, all yours.
Okie doke. All right, so I think I mentioned last year when I was here, I don't know if you guys recall, I think the report used to be somewhere around 50 to 60 pages. I think this year it's like 157. So one of the things that management has decided is they want to apply for the certificate, the GFA certificate, like you guys do for the budget. It's the highest level you can get for a financial statement, which means that the information in there is as accurate as possible. It has all the proper disclosures, all the supplemental things, and all the GASB pronouncements are in there. So as you'll see, that there's a significantly a lot more footnotes, a lot more, there's a whole statistical section in the back, and there are several other schedules and statements that we put in there to comply so we can achieve this certificate. So I just wanted to point that out. And basically my presentation is more going to be just highlighting some key things that are in the financial statement. And if you haven't had a chance to take a look at it, it might be worth your while to look at these things that I'm going to point out. The first thing I want to talk about is we issued a unqualified opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that you can give. What that means is that the city is in compliance with all the laws, rules, and regulations as it applies to governmental accounting. And we didn't find any problems when we were going through the information, and they put all the proper disclosures inside the financial statements. And that's on pages 1 and 2. The biggest thing that I think, if everyone has not read yet, I think it is an excellent tool for you. It's the management and discussion analysis letter. It's written by management. It's on pages 3 through 12. It basically summarizes this 150-page document into nine pages and really lets the reader understand what happened to the city over the last 12 months. And what at the end, it talks about what the expectations are for the next 12 months. So it's a good read. It's very well written. It's got a lot of charts and analysis in there. So if you haven't had a chance to read that, I highly recommend that. On page 21, that is the equivalent to the profit and loss for the enterprise funds. You'll see how well the electric and water funds have done. It was a very good year for both of those entities. One of the things that we've had in the past, in past management letters for recommendations, is creating internal service funds for the insurance fund, and you'll see that those also got added on page 21 and then in the back of the statement. We created 3 internal service funds, 2 for the insurance and 1 for the compensated absences. And the reason that it was our recommendation is that's what GASB recommended that they be presented. So that's what was implemented this year. On pages 27 and 28, the footnotes are huge. So on pages 27 and 28 is a table of contents. So if there's anything in there that might be a good place to start, so if you are interested in looking at the fixed assets or the debt or any one of the things that we describe better on the notes, it's a good place to start to see where you might be able to find them. On page 51, just something worth pointing out, it is a summary of the debt. Over really close to $5 million of debt was paid off during the last fiscal year for the city. So that's an amazing feat in itself to be able to pay off that much debt. So a couple more things. On page 77 is the budget to actual for the general fund. So you'll see how well the city did budgeting that. They met their budget expectations. The expenditures were less than what was appropriated, and the general fund grew over $1 million over the last fiscal year. So, and the last thing that I wanted to comment on is a big schedule that we put in there on pages 78 through 95. This is for the general fund. It's a detailed schedule. Normally what we do is just put it in by the categories, and this is a detailed schedule of several pages by category, breaking it down to what the expenses were in each category and how they compared to budget. So it lets the reader know how we did line by line during the year in the general fund. So that's pretty much all I wanted to highlight to everybody.
Questions or comments for our friend Frank? Alderman Simonian?
I have a few questions here.
I hope I can answer.
I hope so too. First of all, on page 3,
yep,
under the financial highlights, under the first few bullets, can you give me or help me,
sure,
in explaining some of these numbers so I get a better understanding?
Okay. Which one specifically?
Let's start with the first bullet.
Okay.
The city exceeded its liabilities, net position, by $145 million. Of this amount, $13 million may be used to meet the city's ongoing obligations to citizens and creditors. Is
on,
that?
On page, if you look at page 13,
mm-hmm,
it'll summarize where those numbers come from.
Okay, I know, I've...
So the net position, the $145 million is basically the total assets of the city minus the total liabilities.
Right.
So that's what the net position is.
Am I to assume that the $13 million is available funds?
It's available for the city's discretion on what, how they're gonna spend the money.
Okay, so it's discretionary funds? As I understand it.
I don't wanna say discretionary, I mean, it's up to the city and how they're gonna spend the money.
Right, it's up to us to decide where that goes. I don't understand.
Okay.
It's discretionary, correct?
Yeah, but it's not like they can spend it on whatever they want. They're specific, like, to give you an example, of that $13 million, $11.2 million is in the enterprise funds. So the money would probably be, wanted to be spent in there. You can't just spend that in the general fund or the TRICOM or any one of those other funds. So you, that is an accurate statement, but you gotta look inside the detail.
I understand.
Okay.
Just trying to get a good handle on this.
I understand. I just don't want any misconstrued.
No, I understand.
Misconstrued that you have $13 million you could just go spend wherever you want, so.
Right, revenue from the enterprise funds can only be invested or reinvested in those enterprise funds respectfully.
Right.
We can't use those for sidewalks or facade improvement grants or improvements to the roof at City Hall, et cetera, so.
Right, but they still are discretionary inside the enterprise fund, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's a state law that governs that.
Okay. I think that was the
Some of those funds are restricted though, is that correct? Of that 11 million, I mean, there are bonding requirements that we have to keep certain fund balances though. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, if you look in each individual fund, there's restrictions, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Tom, it's not all unrestricted. There are restrictions on some of those, just so you're aware of that.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that.
All right, and on the and on bullet three, it says approximately 51% of this amount, 4.4 million, available for spending at the government's discretion, unassigned fund balance.
That's on a different page. Yeah, I found it right here. Yeah, just so you know, Tom wrote this letter, not me. So that's why I got to go look and see where the numbers came from. This is management's discussion, not mine. I didn't write
okay.
This. I'm not taking any responsibility.
That's no problem.
Okay.
I figured it would take at least two bullets for you to pass the buck, so that's
all
okay.
Right. All right. So the detail of that is on page 16, and these are the governmental funds. And most of that 4.4 million is related to the general fund. So.
Okay. On page 7, under business type activities.
Okay.
And it's the growth of the electric fund. I don't know if it's an opinion or whatever. Is the likelihood of this pattern continuing?
That I can't. That's management. What their forecast is on the budget. I don't know what the budget for 2014 fiscal year 13-14 is.
We've got a rate set. Mm-hmm. Out, so we're looking at those rates as we go out. We're looking at the capital that we're investing every year as well. So right off the top of my head, I couldn't answer that question. We would have to delve into it a little bit. To say it's set right now, we really look at it on a year-to-year basis. I mean, obviously, we plan 5 years out for capital. We look at the rates that we've got set out in front of us. But every year when we go to sit down to do the budget, that's when, you know, we look at those funds and determine what we've got to work with in the upcoming year.
Okay.
So, you know, we can look, when we get into the budget for this coming year, I think we'll be better able to answer that question.
Okay, no, I mean, it's some good growth. I was just curious if this is an ongoing opportunity for us or just a little spike in the, that we will not see again. So just a question. Let's see. on page 8 in paragraph 2, it asks these unassigned fund balances, where do they end up landing in the big picture?
The second paragraph, the 4.4 million, is that what you're talking about? That is also mostly related to the general fund.
Okay.
So most of that is in the general fund. And that's on page 16 in the detail again. Go ahead, Mary.
And that's part of the 30%, that the fund balance that you're talking about, or that Tom's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right now, actually, we've been working for the past 5 years to get it to 25%, so we're a little bit over that. But that is our policy that we implemented in 2009, that we would have a minimum of 25% of the general fund as a reserves in fund balance. So that's where that comes from.
Okay. On page 10, under the differences for all the different departments, I just want to make a comment to say congratulate the entire city staff, especially the department that's done a great job of managing the budgets and coming in under those budgets with some fabulous numbers, in my opinion. Let's see, I think I got one more. Yeah, on page 17, what represents other revenues? It's a pretty large number of 5.2 million, and it's just under an other revenues column.
Line item. I think Tom can probably get you the detail for that. In the back statements, most of that comes from the special revenue funds and the capital projects funds. 2.153 is from the non-home sales
tax. Okay. You can get it to me. Tom, you can get it to me later. That's fine.
The detail of the 2.5 million or the 88 in the general fund? The 5 million.
The 5.2 million,
if you don't mind.
It's all Tricom's revenue.
Okay.
In the back on page 100, it'll detail which fund and where the money's coming from, but Tom can give you a detail specifically of where it came from. So.
And Tom, if you could send that out to the whole council, too, please.
But Frank's right. About half of that is Tricom's revenue that it's just posted as miscellaneous in the
statements.
And the other half, I believe, is the non-home sales tax.
Yeah, they're both over 2 million. Yeah.
So that's the bulk.
Okay.
Get that out to you.
And the non-home rule sales tax is restricted to only capital.
Oh, okay. I think that's it. I appreciate everybody's patience with letting me catch up with everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Marks?
You know, I always, mine is mostly note 15 because it's the pensions, which is always the most difficult to go through. You know, there was an adjustment to the annual required contribution for both funds going down. Is that just the actuarial numbers that we're reporting here that you get from those reports?
On what page?
72, I'm
72?
Sorry.
Yeah, those come right directly out of the actual report. These are, we don't calculate these. Yeah, we don't do anything. Okay. The actuary compares them, and we report them. Yeah.
Just as of 12/31, which we get from those audit reports.
April 30th.
Oh, April 3rd, okay. Yeah. And so this shows realistically, is that right, that our the firefighters' pension fund is 83% funded on the actuarial value, is that correct?
Let's see, hold on 1 second. I think it might be a little bit better than that.
Yeah, that's one I...
Oh, that's right.
Firefighters, a better place to look is on page 74.
Oh, okay.
And firefighters is 88.7. It's in the middle of the page.
Oh, I see it. Okay, thank you. I was looking at the wrong column. And so then the police is actually 57.4.
That's correct.
And so we dropped a little bit in both this year, is that correct, from 11 to 12?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it's detailed in the actuarial reports on why those reductions are like that.
Okay. All right. Do you find that most of the audits that you do that... I mean, 88% is usually a good number.
That's a fantastic number. Unbelievable. I mean, the state statute is 90% in 2040, so you guys are well ahead of the game in that one. So that's
But we've got some work to make up in the police.
In the police, yeah, that's kind of low.
So. And that's low, even from what you normally see then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 88% is, you know,
the most old, the old rule used to be like 75% was a good number. So now the state statute says 90%. So
okay,
by 2040.
Right, we got time. I'm just saying, but the old general rule of thumb was 75% was kind of the barometer that people tried to meet.
So. Mary, we were trying to pick up those contributions this year, weren't we?
And we fully funded this year. Yeah, we funded exactly what the actuarial told us. It's just it's.
That's what I thought we had. That's why I was a little surprised at where they came, because I thought we had funded them 100%.
Yeah, we did.
Because these are a couple of years. You know, the they haven't prepared the actuarial report for 2013 yet, because
they're a year behind. What happens is they take the information from the audit to do the information, so they'll have the information for your levy that comes up in December.
That's where I'm off. I apologize. That's why it's right. It's 12. Right. They haven't finished that.
Right, and then this current fiscal year, 2014, is where we budgeted the full contribution for both funds. So we're a few years, you know.
Yeah, that's why. So Tom, do we actually see those reports, or do they actually go to just those funds? There's groups that run. I know there's boards that run them.
The city gets them.
Okay. And then do you know when those are roughly done by? Or?
Usually, last year was late. It was February. But this year it was February 2013 when we got it. This year there was because of a delay with the firm that's doing their books. So we should get them November, December.
Okay. All right. Do we share those with the council then at that point? I don't remember seeing it.
I mean, share the numbers. Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, just that's let right. the it's actually in my budget presentation every
that's
year.
That's right. Okay, that's where it is. All right, thank you.
Alderman Brown.
To follow on that, I presume for when you have small departments like we do, police and fire, that in any given year, one retirement or one hire can make it bounce a few percent without us doing anything.
Sure.
We're sensitive to one retirement or one new hire.
Right. Yep. Plus their investments, too. Yeah. And it's all.
And the investments.
Right. I mean, if they, April 30th, you know, things are really bad, May 1st, things are really good because of the market, mm-hmm. you just pick the point in time and your reports are vastly different. So, big combination of those two.
Because they do seem to bounce around an awful lot.
They do.
Saying it's just
every day.
Mm-hmm. One really has to look at a multi-year trend to really see anything.
In essence, we're looking at 2012 figures here.
Yeah.
2011 figures.
These are 2012 figures. It says it in the report on the just for the pension information. Okay. Yeah. Just for the pension footnote disclosures, those are April 30th of 12. And each one in each footnote, it has the year rate next to it, so you can see which year is being reported.
Wouldn't you think, though, with the way that the market's performed over?
The markets have been very good this year.
Last 18 months roughly, that our police pension should have performed better.
We will know that, and when they do their actual report, like Tom said, in the next 30 to 60 days, you'll find out. But that would be the expectation, yeah. But then it also matters on how. I'm not an investment person. An investment person will probably tell you, but it depends on how funded the police investments were into the market, or if they were being conservative in.
Yeah.
Bond funds or whatnot. So.
Anyone else? I would entertain a motion to accept the report as presented.
So move.
Motion by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Bruno. All in favor of accepting the report, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Let the record show that 8 affirmative votes, 2 absent. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. And I just did want to say one more thing. I just did want to thank the city staff and getting us the information timely so we can make our job easier and less stressful to get through this whole process. Obviously, this is a very cumbersome report. It's a huge report, and it takes a lot of time and effort to do. And I just want to thank everybody for their effort. Also, I also did want to mention that implementing the new software was phenomenal in producing all the reports that we did phenomenally. I mean, we used to have to patch things back and forth and run 6 or 7 reports to get the information that we wanted to the financial statements, and now with the press of the button, Tom can get us everything that we needed. So I think that was a really good investment on the city side, just to help validate something that you guys already did and spent the money on too. So
just one other question.
Sure.
This is the fourth year that you've done our audit?
This is the fourth year of our contract. Yep.
Of a four-year contract. Thank you.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let it be known for the record that Mr. Dahl only wears Jerry Garcia ties. Is that true?
No, it's a rare one.
When you wear one, it's only Jerry Garcia?
Pardon me?
You only wear Garcia ties?
95% of the time, that's correct.
Sounds like an auditor.
Never.
Give or take a percent.
Are those clip-ons?
Nice job. Those
Maybe we ought to have the books re-audited.
Just as wardrobe.
Yeah.
Item 4B is to recommend draft ordinance approving update number 14 to Delnor Community Hospital PUD related to new monument signs, landscaping, and roadway improvements.
That's in my ward, so I motion to approve.
Singer makes the motion.
Second.
Seconded by, we'll give that to the lady on the left, Alderman Vogelsberg. My left. Any questions or comments? I know we have representatives from the applicant here this evening. Alderman Kilberg.
Do all signs or all structures of this type go through the plan commission, essentially, when we get into a stone or a concrete structure of this nature? I guess my question is, I know that we had to disassemble a sign about a year ago at Cressy and State Street at the fuel station because it obstructed the view to the east. What is the process? Could you review that for me?
Well, we've got there's several different types
Is that factually correct?
The disassembly, I remember there was an issue with the sign up on Cressy. That, in my mind, is kind of an outlier because we do have signs that are permitted by right that do not, involve plan commission review.
Okay.
It depends on when it's proposed. If it's being proposed in conjunction with a commercial development, then the sign plans and the location on site is shown. If it's an existing use, an existing commercial use, and they're desiring to change their sign, they simply apply for a building permit to locate the sign. In this particular case, with the Delnor campus, the campus is totally unique to the city, the size standards and height requirements that would apply to a by right type situation really don't apply here because we're working within the Delnor planned unit development, which is also a very unique plan unit development with its own rules and standards for development. In this case, we did not, when we established the PUD for Delnor / Cadence some years ago, we didn't include standards on signs. So in looking at the regulations that apply to the Cadence campus, we did decide to go through this process with them. What actually tripped the requirement for plan commission review was some changes to the access street system into the project off of Williamsburg. So this is a unique situation, but in terms of sizes and overall configuration, this is a combination of campus identification as well as wayfinding that they've incorporated into the sign package, and the plan commission did recommend approval.
So in other words, if there's any question as far as obstruction of view, then that's been assessed by professionals then?
Well, it has, and if there is some code compliance issue or something that was missed where the commercial property didn't apply for a permit for the sign that they installed, then we have to investigate.
Thank you.
Alderman Kilberg, I just wanted to address that Cressy Avenue was one of those instances where the sign was put up without a permit, and at that point, then we're going after them to get it taken care of because of the site obstruction.
Great, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any additional comments regarding item 4B? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. That'll be on the consent agenda next Monday evening. Oh, I'm sorry. It's tonight's special meeting. Forgive me. Item 4C, recommend draft ordinance amending Table 2, permitted uses in the M1 Zoning District of Geneva Business Park, PUD, to allow craft distilleries as a permissible use or permitted use.
So moved.
Alderman Brown makes the motion.
Second.
Alderman Simonian makes the second. And we have Mr. Orlando with us tonight. Any questions or comments for our applicant? Welcome. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. This is exciting, isn't it? Do you want to come to the podium and introduce you? I'm not sure if everyone's had the pleasure of meeting you or not.
Probably not. I'm Mike Orlando, president of Fox River Distilling Company.
Look at that, huh? No samples tonight, Bruno. What do you want?
Samples, sorry.
Alderman Bruno.
Could you just give us a little insight as to your business? It sounds like an interesting...
It is. It's a very interesting business. I'm leaving a 37-year career in the food service industry for it. Craft distilling is actually, if you want to really look at it, it's small batch distilling. So unlike what they do in Kentucky, where the stills are, you know, 40 feet high and the columns rise into the air and it looks more like a refinery, this is actually kettle brewing the grains and then redistilling it to get vodka, gin, bourbon, malt, whiskey, a couple of specialties.
And it will be locally labeled?
Absolutely.
Locally sold?
Locally sold. In the days before Prohibition, there were thousands of distilleries across America, and people bought locally. And this is where we're heading back to with craft brewing, with craft distilling. It's more of a, you take on the local flavor, you try and incorporate as much of the local product as you possibly can, and, you know, let's look around. We've got corn grown everywhere around here, so.
So I would show up and get a bucket of gin sometime?
Not quite. Under Illinois law, you're allowed 3 quarter-ounce samples in an 8-hour period, but you would be able to buy a bottle and take it home.
Thank you.
Alderman Kilburg.
I thought it was somewhat intriguing.
Open 24 hours?
Yeah. The path that led you to Geneva, and I think one of the things that probably was a major selling point was, and we hear a lot about the quality of our water, but I think yours is a testimonial to the purity of the water here in Geneva, and the fact that that was one of the major reasons why you decided to come to Geneva with your...
Yes, it was. We actually looked at a number of different communities, and there was a, you know, some pretreatment required with a lot of different water. I will tell you that the three towns bordering Geneva, I would have to spend an enormous amount of money to pretreat the water, since the city of Geneva ROs every single, you know, drop of water that goes through the town. I don't have any pretreatment to do at all. This saved me an enormous amount of money.
Thank you.
Maybe we're not charging enough on the license then.
Oh, believe me, you're charging enough.
Yeah.
We've had that discussion.
This is all new, isn't it? That was a lengthy discussion.
Yeah.
Mr. Orlando, I understand, and perhaps I'm incorrect, but if you could elucidate and educate, federal law only allows you to brew so much.
Actually, it's common practice for a craft distiller not to brew more than 100,000 proof gallons per year. A lot of states, you know, states have their own laws. In the state of Illinois, I'm only allowed to produce 35,000 gallons.
Got it.
Per year, not proof gallons, gallons. So that is, if you look at a fifth is one-fifth of a gallon of product multiplied by five. And that's, you know, I can manufacture 175,000 bottles currently under Illinois law.
Wow. So there's no federal regulation that tamps down that volume. It's just the state regulatory environment.
No, my federal permit allows me to manufacture as much as I possibly can.
Well, congratulations.
If they would go back to work.
Could we'll be have your to advantage they don't, right?
See with that. It's the state of Illinois requirement that limits our production.
Interesting. Has the shutdown affected your license in any way, shape, or form?
It has. We were number two on the list, and right now with the government shutdown, I have no idea when they restart, you know, what the order will be. They'll get to the most pressing issues first, I suppose, but, you know, it just puts us behind a couple of weeks or whenever they come back to work.
Wow.
But there's nothing being approved at this point, so no federal labels, no federal permits. No, nothing. For those craft distillers that are out there today, they are required to continue sending in their tax money, but that's about all that's happening.
Interesting.
Impending shortage? My God.
Well, you know, it is revenue. When you talk about the product that distillers make, it's considered revenue for the government before it's considered my product.
Are you a Kentucky Colonel?
I am not.
You are not. Okay. Any other additional comments for Mr. Orlando?
Well, I'm assuming that this is going to be a quality product.
Absolutely.
You're talking about the Depression era period. This isn't going to be bathtub gin.
No, we have a larger manufacturing facility than just the bathtub.
Okay.
But, you know, we are stirring the goo at this point. Yeah.
Good.
Whirlpool.
Any comments from anyone in the audience? Anyone thirsty? No. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Item 4D, as in David, recommend draft resolution authorizing purchase of one 2014 Ford Explorer from Wright Automotive in the amount not to exceed $27,000.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Singer. Any questions or comments? You have the explanation in your packet, staff memorandum. This is simply to drive to and from Batavia. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4E is to recommend draft resolution declaring surplus 2001 GMC Sonoma number 119 as surplus property.
So moved. Second. Move it. Go ahead.
Was that Kilberg? Kilberg made the motion, and the second was Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments? 12-year-old vehicles. Sounds like stuff you drive, Maladra. All in favor?
Do we get bids for these? And if we don't, what happens?
We scrap them.
For the surplus?
Yeah.
We typically have to.
Probably would.
IBID, which for the last few years we've been using that for a lot of our surplus property, which is the state's equivalent to eBay. So we've
what
been
happens
selling.
If we don't get a bid? Do we then just.
We all would.
Does our motion, does the motion include anything that would happen if we don't get the bid, or would you have to come back to us
to
scrap it?
We haven't run into that.
Or we take it to auction.
Yeah. Take it to auction.
Yeah.
Speedway?
We sell it.
Somehow. Good. Thank you.
A high school senior. Any additional comments or questions? All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Item 4F is to recommend Western Lambert's bike rack design in an amount not to exceed $6,000 and payment of $1,000 design fee.
So moved.
Vogelsberg makes the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Simonian, and we have very special guests with us this evening. They're in row three, reluctant to even. Everyone knows our good friend Mr. V-Tang. This is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were real pleased when we saw the submissions that came through.
It's a tough.
And the first time we went out, we only got one. And the Public Art Advisory Committee, as well as the Arts Commission, wanted to have some choices so we could get, you know, euphemistically, the best possible design for the community, because this is something that's going to be there for many years to come, we anticipate. So we revised how we went out, found some good websites that artists use throughout the country, and advertised it on that. And we received, I think, 14 submissions, one of which did not meet the qualifications. So we had 13 that were suitable. So Jan Schmuckel at Gallery 28, one of the commissioners, she's the only one that had seen the submissions when they came in, besides Paul Evans. She redacted out the names of all the artists and any reference to where they lived and resided. So the Public Art Advisory Committee only saw the artwork to stand alone. And as we went through, there were three that kind of caught
most people's idea of something that was really neat for the community, and discussed it, worked on it some more, and this was the one that was chosen. And then afterwards we found out that the artist himself is professor of glass practice at Tulane University. So we were kind of happy that we kind of found somebody that could not only design a bike rack, but would also have the fabrication facilities, which made it much easier for the Arts Commission, because we were going to go out and see about getting it fabricated. But they're able to do it all at Tulane University. And in the realm of glass, Tulane is known worldwide for flat glass, which is what you see on the side pieces of the proposed design. So people from all over the world come there to learn how to make that type of glass and work with it. And they also can do the stainless steel fabrication. So we were real pleased that we'll be getting a quality product. And in addition to that, Brian Scheiber, the city engineer, was one of the members of the Public Art Advisory Commission. And throughout the process, he gave us good advice on this one would work, this one there might be some issues with longevity or maintenance problems and so on. So we hope you'll be as excited as we are to see it appear come spring of the year.
Mr. Simonian.
I'm a little confused at what is this going to cost us, because when I'm looking at it, it's a $6,000 with $6,000 reimbursement grant coming from the cultural arts, and then I see another $3,000 donation from the Fox Valley Orthopedics. So what's the actual cost of this thing?
Well, the actual cost is $6,000, of which $3,000 is being donated.
So it's net three to
yes.
the city?
And yes, then we originally budgeted six, and in the course of publicizing the project, we were contacted by Fox Valley Orthopedics, who wanted to become involved in the project as in celebration of their 40th anniversary of serving the community.
Great. Nice.
And the $3,000 net amount is through the cultural arts budget.
Yes.
Which is derived from fundraising and what have you.
Dancing with, primarily Dancing with Geneva Stars.
So. And what is the nickname of Tulane University, Mr. Simonian?
Nickname?
Yeah.
Green Wave.
Green Wave, that's right.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's one of the few universities that have a nickname with no S. But I digress. Alderman Bruno.
I don't have that kind of time.
I'm fascinated with those sorts of digressions. I couldn't get quite all the details. So the glass portions, those are single pieces, monolithic, right? They're not individual.
There'll be a multitude of pieces because of the curvature.
Okay, that's so. And then there's going to be a void. Basically, you're going to have like an I-beam with a void between the glass portions.
It'll actually be a an I-beam,
stainless.
And there'll be a ledge, so the pieces will get mounted in there. And where they're separate pieces, there'll be a vertical strip where the pieces mount, so they have something behind them.
Okay. There are two panels of glass with space in between, which is inaccessible. I'm just thinking toward maintenance. If those are individual segments of glass, it didn't specify here that I saw whether they're tapered. I'm just worried there'd be slight gaps between some of those glass segments and debris or bugs.
It's supposed to be sealed and not have any gaps, but I think that question would be better answered by Mr. Lambert.
Thank you.
More importantly, can you lock your bike to it?
Yes, absolutely.
Most modern bicycle racks.
Oh, yes. And we anticipate having a sign there so people will know that it is a functional bike rack.
Thank you. Tim, will this be impervious to vandalism? Is it sturdy enough where we don't have to concern ourselves with someone coming along and hitting it with a baseball bat or something?
Impervious, it'll be somewhat resistant, but I don't think the glass would survive a baseball bat.
Are you planning on spending hours with Mr. Orlando at the distillery before you head down there?
Yeah.
No, that's an ongoing issue that you have with
That's good press for you, Mike, right there.
How many bicycles will fit in that?
This is designed for six.
Six. How many more bicycle racks is it that we need in our community?
I don't know. Mr. Unch could probably answer that.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, true.
I don't recall where we stood in terms of our bikeway plan, but we have many locations where we'd like to place bike racks in town.
Okay. And then are we now establishing a precedent whereby other bike racks that will come forward will be similar in structure and similar in cost?
It's my understanding that as long as the program continues here that this group has developed, there'll be a fresh new bike rack that will come along in the next year, and then and however frequently that they do this program.
And our hope is
so
that
each one will be unique unto itself.
Understood.
That's the idea.
And would it be understood then that this cost will be absorbed by the same manners in which this present product is being displayed?
Yes, we expect to raise money for the bike racks. We presently in our budget have $3,000 additional for a bike rack, a smaller bike rack at another location that we had worked with city staff on. But we wanted to get through one, get all the bugs out, get the process smoothed out so before we proceeded. And the cost is really dependent on the size of the bike rack, how many bicycles it will hold.
Okay. I can't envision where it's going to be. You say it's going to be located at the Geneva History Center.
Yes.
Is it not going to be an obstruction for traffic to walk through and on the sidewalk area? Where is that going to be? Where will it be placed?
It'll be in the parkway between the sidewalk and the curb,
okay,
which is about 6-8 feet wide at
right.
that point. Almost to the vacant lot to the north.
Oh, yeah.
And there's currently a bike rack there that is just sitting there.
Right.
It's not mounted or anything.
Oh, I see.
In fact, the History Center doesn't know where it came from exactly. It was just there one day. And it's not a what I'd say a standard city bike rack.
Train station could use at least another bike rack, judging on the few times I've seen the bikes parked there this summer. So if you need to relocate this one, the train station could certainly use it. It's
I'll pass that
how
on.
Many people are riding bikes in the summer to the train station.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Singer.
I just had, are these the actual colors that will be displayed, the yellow, the blue, and the red, or do we have a choice of colors, or?
No.
I like purple.
It's for the artist. We didn't want to have it designed by committee.
Oh, okay.
But I'd rather have red and white, the Hoosier colors.
Mr. Orlando, this is your night, man. This is.
We can't have red, white, and blue?
The French won't let us.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you. Just a quick thank you, Tim, to you and your committee, because it's I know you guys have always been encouraging public art. I like the utilitarian part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a really cool project and a good place for your first one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience regarding this cool project? We have a motion by Vogelsberger and a second by Simonian. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Item 4G is to recommend draft resolution authorizing purchase of one 2014 Ford Interceptor police car in the amount of $31,958.44.
So moved.
Motion by Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Singer. We have the August Commander Nash with us this evening, and we have a comment or a question by Alderman Simonia.
Am I to understand that the net on this is 31.9 less 28.120? Is that correct how I read this, or?
Correct.
Okay.
sort of.
Technically, though, revenues are revenues, expenditures are expenditures, so when we get reimbursed for the vehicle, that will go to revenues, and we are actually expending this, so there may be a budget amendment later in time for the full amount.
Okay.
But we are getting money back from the insurance carrier who accepted liability.
In the math, when I went to school, am I somewhat correct?
That's what I said. I said you are correct when it all comes down to it, but Tom would be mad at me if I didn't explain that it's not going in the same line item, coming out of the same line item.
Okay. I'm not used to this new math. I'm the old math guy. Okay.
Basically, what we're out is the depreciation of the vehicle.
I understand.
We're seeking recovery on everything else except for the depreciation.
Thank you.
Was all the equipment pretty much destroyed? It looks like we have to buy a defibrillator and other items for this?
We're working under the assumption that the integrity of them was compromised. Okay. And if you'd like to be the recipient of the defibrillator,
I knew the accident was bad, but
it was very bad. And officer reading is fine.
Oh, good. That was my next question, actually. How's the officer? But so we're just going underneath. Yes. That's fine. That's because normally we don't have those items in every police car we purchase. So.
Correct.
It was a startling, not only accident, but the results. I happen to be at State City Collision repairing my own vehicle, and Bob showed me the squad car. It's unbelievable.
He's very lucky that he was not injured more seriously.
Yeah. Wow. He's one of our newer officers.
He's outstanding.
Yes,
as all of them are.
Agree.
Lord.
They're trained
well. This is my podium to get this.
So how did your Packers do? How did your Packers do?
My Packers did very well, but they lost two major receivers, Randall Cobb and James Jones. So, due to injury.
That means nothing to me.
They won.
Anything, Mr. Smoney?
She's setting up.
Packers ends in an S, so I can't help you there.
And 2 weeks ago, Batavia beat Geneva in volleyball.
I know. I heard about that. I heard the sirens go off, and I thought that was perhaps an accident. It was a good match.
It was an outstanding match.
Yes, it was. Always is. We have a motion to approve the squad car using new math. And we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Item 4H is to recommend draft ordinance amending Title IX, Municipal Utilities.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Kilberg made the motion and Marks made the second.
That one just about died.
That
right
one just
there.
About died for lack of interest. Sorry about that, Dan. Buffington, Van Gescom. Utilities just don't inspire us like they used to. Any comments or questions regarding this matter? This is pretty much housekeeping. Alderman Bruno? A couple
quick questions. You answered some of them by email, but I'd just throw them out there for Channel 10. The secondary wires is in Chapter 2, Line 5. That's where you step down the power from like a gazillion volts to half a gazillion volts.
Right. Mike, if you want to do a better job of explaining it than I would.
The 34 KV that's outside my house on Caneville Road turns into a 12.5 that comes into my home, and then I then hotwire my neighbor's home and never have to pay for a thing. It's unbelievable.
That is secondary.
That is
wiring.
Impressive.
Hot wiring. No,
it's a $150 fine for that, Mike. Yeah.
Our usual standard voltages, secondary voltages, are 120, 240, 208, 480.
Okay, and the commercial properties are responsible for the secondary wires as opposed to residential properties?
That is correct.
Let's see. Getting into water, abandoned private water well. So if they get city water, have we had issues? I know they have to seal up or cover those wells so as not to contaminate the aquifer. Is there, have we had issues?
The issue that we typically run into is a resident wants to keep the private well hook up to the city so that they can use their private well to irrigate all they want. Mm. And the issue is that private well needs to be abandoned. We're trying to minimize access points for contamination. So as soon as they hook up to our city water, there is no need for them to have that private well anymore. So we would like to see that abandoned properly through the county health department, and then they're on our city system. And we still do have some out there, I believe, but and then this is in particular for any of those unincorporated properties that ultimately will hopefully come to the city at some point.
And you answered my other question, Chapter 3.11, if a customer asked for water meter testing, we waive the testing fee if indeed it's a faulty meter.
Correct. If it's a faulty meter, then they don't pay the fee and we replace the meter with a new meter.
I was thinking I had another sticky note in here. Somewhere in here, there was, seems like we've got a daily penalty if someone's, and pardon me, I can't find my sticky note.
You hit, I mean, I could repeat the question that you had if it's the same one.
What is it that I asked?
question you had, are fees, penalties commensurate with that actual cost that need to be recouped?
Yes.
Is that the one you were asking? In that case, yes. The fees that we've, or the penalties, whatever you want, for reconnections and that, that's basically, we're taking our guys' crew time, usually after hours. Well, we have it for both regular hours and after hours. So if it's regular, the fee's lower. If it's time and a half, then it's the $150, and then if it's double time or a holiday, then they pay the highest one.
Now, with things like theft of service, like, you know, cutting in the wire, we don't have any way of knowing how much electricity they took. So it's not like we have a – we disconnect it when we find it, so we don't have any way of giving a daily penalty because we don't know how long it's been.
We don't know when it happened and how long it happened and how much they used during that period because they tampered with the meter or whatever they were doing to – steal the power.
They pay a flat fine and we give them a stern look.
They pay the highest fee and yeah, we basically tell them don't do that again.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Excellent. Item 4 I is to recommend draft resolution authorizing professional services agreement with ITRON at a cost not to exceed $45,444.31 for fixed base meter reading system.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Any questions or comments regarding the fixed meter reading system bid? Alderman Brown and Alderman Kilbert.
My question may be simpler. Is there a simple payback calculation you can do on this to find out when we recoup our $44,000 in saved labor?
There's really not in this. There's not a lot of city labor. It's mostly from the ITRON side, since they are hosting the network and we are tapping into the network to do our billing and so on and so forth. That this is all professional services from the ITRON side to get the system set up so where we can use it.
But do we save some labor in the long term? By
well, yes. I mean, the labor that we're going to save is by eliminating the meter reader to go out and read the meters. We're also saving for final reads, misreads, those type of things.
So presumably there is some kind of a payback calculation one could do, and it sounds like the payback would be fairly short on this.
Well,
the meter readers cost us quite a bit of money.
Yes, I mean the ultimate goal for this is to, you know, move forward and progress because we are limited in the ability to move forward with our current system. So this is the next transition. So yes, there most communities around the area will be eliminating the meter readers. It's just the way you go about reading water meters in the area is transitioning to a more advanced level. So this is our way of transitioning. But yes, there is a payback. I just don't have that number in front of me.
Thank you.
Alderman Kilbert.
Yeah. I just always, when we have this type of an expenditure, I always want to know about compatibility and what's our flexibility as far as compatibility with other types of programs.
Sure.
And software.
Sure.
Are we restricted in any way with this investment to one company?
No, I fully understand what you're talking about, and this is one of my main concerns in doing the research. Itron is probably the most flexible in compatibility, so that was one of my goals, is to make sure that, especially with our new software that we're getting with the New World, that they were not only compatible with New World, but a lot of other software companies out there. So yes, they are, in my opinion, the most flexible.
And the meter readers, or the, okay, you've answered it. Thank you.
Okay.
Does this cover the whole city, or is it just some of the newer meters that we're putting in?
No, it's the newer meters that we've been installing for probably 2-3 years now. We're doing them roughly 700 meters a year is how we're transitioning. We would like to do them by selected routes, but when we have problem meters, whether they be like Dan had spoken earlier, to where they're just stop reading, which we do have, or to where it's you've got yards that are very difficult to get into, meter reader has problems, we'll go in and transition those meters out. So the majority of them are full routes, so we can get rid of the meter reader to do those. But once we transition, those other meters will also be read, which lessens our cost for the individual meter reader.
So is this going to become an annual fee then, or is
no? This is a one-time startup fee.
Okay, this is just a setup fee.
Yes,
and then we'll be able to do everything in-house. Is that correct, or is it?
No, no. What you're seeing here tonight is the startup fee, to where we can read roughly almost 20,000 meters on a monthly basis.
Okay. Thank you,
Alderman Singer.
So it'll be both residential and commercial meters?
All of our meters, correct.
Now, let me get this straight in my mind. Is there going to be a vehicle going down the street that will, how will they read them? How will that process begin?
Currently, right now, we have installed antennas on two of our towers, one at the Logan Tower. One of our antennas is also at the Dodson Street Tower. That's all the antennas that we need. And also with that comes a CCU, is what they call it, from Itron. That collects all the data, and we've got those installed. That all gets transmitted through a cellular network to the state of Washington, where I believe it's in Seattle is where they're located. And then Tom has the capability to log into their system to be able to upload the reads anytime that he wants to for billing purposes.
So the billing purposes will still remain as they are?
Correct. It's still a once a month read.
Yep.
There's no changes in that. What we will get away from are the estimated reads. So when we have a bad snowfall or whatever else,
right.
Or when we roughly do about 1,500 final reads a year, that will eliminate the, you know, a person going out to get those final reads from apartments on a monthly basis to go out and get those reads. So it will take all of those reads, upload them to the, whenever Tom desires to upload them into that server, he can grab them and you know, bill from there.
I guess this would be a question more for Mary than you, but for instance, NICOR has a budget program as such that I happen to be in and contribute on a monthly basis. Have we thought of going in that direction with this service to provide to our citizens?
We already do set up budgets for our customers. Right now, the past few years, we've been doing it manually. But yes, we will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And Stephanie might be able to give details.
Yeah, through the New World system, not through iTron, we will be able to have budget billing. So you would pay basically the same amount all year
right.
long, and then at the end of the year, it would reconcile. Our old software system would not allow for that.
Correct.
So once we get, we've just gone live with New World, you should be able, well, that's coming down the road to be able to have a budget billing. But that's separate and apart from what we're talking about here tonight.
Understood. However, if NICOR does advance me a small rate of interest for a surplus amount that's in that in the program, you won't be able to do that for me.
I don't believe we've discussed that.
I didn't think so.
No, we won't be able to do that.
Yeah. Thank you, young man. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Brown?
I'm sorry.
Oh, forgive me. Bruno Alderman Bruno.
Just real quick, you said there's how many new meters out there and how many total in the field?
Currently, I think by the end of this fiscal year, we will have almost 3,000 meters in the system, electric and water, that will be read through this. And we're looking at roughly between 800 and 1,000 meters a year to be replaced from this point forward.
And you said the but total that are out there now will have 20-some thousand meters?
Oh, no. That's the capability that we have through iTron.
I see.
On a monthly basis to be read.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
So your indication that you could, when a person moves, you could do a final reading, et cetera, implies that iTron can measure these whenever they want. You can request a measurement at any time.
Right. Through the finance office, they could do that.
Almost any day.
Correct.
They could measure every day. They could measure twice a day, time
good.
And day metering.
Good. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the goal.
That is a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. That means there is a potential in the future for time of day metering, which is good. It also means that iTron could sell that information to commercial entities that might be interested in exactly what your electric consumption was, and non-commercial entries. I don't want to expand on that. This is definitely a two-edged sword. They could read it as often as they wanted.
You know, I guess.
Is there anything there to prevent them from doing that in the language?
You have any answers for that? Not at this time, but what that's you raise a really good point, but I'd
be a two-edged sword, allowing somebody in Washington State unlimited, unfettered access.
It is only
electricity flowing into your house.
But to my understanding, and I will get back to you on that, is that it is only based on the city's desire to have that information. It is not.
I trust you.
So.
I have friends in Seattle
I understand.
That I trust.
So.
That doesn't cover everyone.
Sure.
Interesting. Definitely a two-edged sword, which has future possibilities and future pitfalls. And given the number of companies that are willing to sell information about you to some other commercial entity in this modern world, one can imagine all sorts of directions this might go in.
That's an important comment, and I will get back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the dais? From the audience? We have a motion by Singer, a second by Marx. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Bob. Item J, 4J, is to recommend draft resolution granting utility easement at 322 Logan Avenue.
So moved.
Marx second. Makes the motion, and Bruno makes the second. Questions or comments? Pretty much housekeeping as well. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. Item K is to recommend draft resolution declaring a 1993 club cart as surplus and post on bid auction site.
So moved. Second.
Bruno makes the motion and Simonian. Marx makes the motion and Simonian makes the second. You guys look just alike. It's unbelievable.
That's uncanny, isn't it?
It is. It's uncanny. Questions or comments? Apparently the city golf course is no longer in need of this club, correct? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. Item L is to recommend certificate of acceptance for Northern Illinois Food Bank electrical installation.
So moved.
Motion by Vogelsberg.
Second.
Seconded by Singer. Any questions or comments regarding this item? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4M is to recommend draft resolution authorizing purchase of one Public Works Fleet Maintenance Service truck in the amount of $43,210 from Bob Ridings Auto Group.
So move.
Second.
Mr. Singer makes the motion. Mr. Marks makes the second. Any questions or comments for Mr. Dinges? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 4N is to recommend draft resolution declaring fleet maintenance truck number 105 as surplus and place on iBid auction site.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Any questions or comments regarding this cool truck? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. New business. Anyone from the audience? Any new business this evening? From the dais?
Chef Roby.
Does everyone know that on this Thursday evening, October 17th, All Chocolate Kitchen's very own Chef Roby is being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Awesome.
Isn't that wild? And it's not just any Hall of Fame.
Which Hall of Fame?
Yeah, this is the Chicago Culinary Museum and Chefs Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
No, very cool. Jeeva is certainly one of the stars in the Chicago sky.
It's amazing.
Good eating restaurant destinations.
Tell by the audience's reception, that was very exciting.
Really chocolate.
Particularly yeah. Chocolate. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Singer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
In 1 minute, we'll have our special city council meeting and then get everyone home to watch. What good show's on tonight?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
what do you call it? A statue for him.
Ooh, that blacklist. Have you seen that?
Yes, Monday Night Football. That's what he's thinking.
What show?
Just wasn't going to ask that publicly.
With James Spader. Oh, I haven't seen it yet. He said it was a little creepy.
Oh,
tonight.
Said that,
oh, I like
to,
creepy
I
and
ask.
Dark, but.
Right away there. We get all this free stuff. We're the product. What is it?
Terrible. Tonight's city council meeting, special city council meeting, is called to order. Let the record show, or correction, I will ask our recording secretary to please take a roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Mike Bruno.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Tom Simonian.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
Alderman Flanagan and Cummings are absent this evening. We have one item and then one special action. Item one is to recommend ordinance number 2013-34, approving updated number 14 to Delmar Community Hospital PUD related to new monument signs, landscaping, and roadway improvements.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Vogelsberg. Any questions or comments? This was discussed earlier at the Committee of the Whole.
I'm coming down.
Mr. Mayor, just to point out that, as you know, we don't normally like to schedule a special meeting with the same item on the Committee of the Whole and then a special City Council meeting. But when we need to accommodate a request of the petitioner and they're under a
construction schedule with asphalt plants and such closing, then we do that, and that's why this is on the same night. So just wanted to point that out to everyone.
That's your excuse for tonight.
My story.
Roll call vote is in order. We kindly ask Mrs. Fernar to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Dean Kilburg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absents. Thank you, gentlemen. I would ask for a motion to waive the fees normally paid to the City Council and Mayor, offered by Vogelsberg, seconded by Singer. Questions or comments? None. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
The asphalt plants better not close down yet. The first ward has a number of streets.
That's exactly. Good. Good.
And at bottom, Pierce is going to last forever, at least until Thanksgiving.
Until next week.
Keep chopping downtown Geneva. It's beautiful, the weather.
Yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
A motion to adjourn is in order.
So moved.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Singer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Microphones are off.